Feeling overwhelmed by client demands and busy work? You need Client Hub to ditch the busy work and take your accounting practice to the next level with the magic of AI. Client Hub is the ultimate practice management solution, built specifically for accountants and pro advisors like you. It's a single magical place where you can collaborate with your team and clients effortlessly. Client Hub's powerful AI capabilities are game-changing. Client Hub can triage your inbox by summarizing email threads and automatically drafting email replies to all your common client questions. The new Magic Workflow feature will create instructions and detailed task checklists for any new client work or unusual requests that come your way. Client Hub is both amazingly powerful and yet amazingly simple. The intuitive, modern interface allows your team to start using it immediately. The mobile app makes it easy for everyone, including your clients, to track tasks and communicate on the go, ensuring nothing falls through the cracks. To experience the magic of Client Hub for yourself and see how it can transform your accounting practice, head over to uqb.promo/clienthub. That is uqb.promo/clienthub.
Welcome to the unofficial QuickBooks Accountants podcast. I am joined by my good friend, Alicia Katz-Pollock, the original, the one and only QBO rockstar, CEO and founder of Royal Wise Solutions.
And I have the privilege of collaborating with Hector Garcia, CPA, the founder of Right Tool for QuickBooks.
In this episode of the unofficial QuickBooks Accountants podcast, we're going to talk about QuickBooks Online Advanced. Is it worth it? So Alicia and I are going to sort of break down all the features that make the difference between QuickBooks Online Advanced and QuickBooks Online Plus, because that's your next logical alternative. And we're going to break them down in the same order as you see it in the QuickBooks.com sales page, plus a couple other things that are just not included in there that are worth mentioning as well. So Alicia, let's start with the price tag, $200 versus $90. What's your initial thoughts about just looking at a piece of software that's slightly more than double than the one under it? You feel that the fact that it's not double, but more than double, has any psychologically effect on the user itself?
I think the psychology behind that is actually really intricate and interesting on Intuit's part. I mean, your first reaction is like, well, why would I want to pay that much? $200? Oh my God, that's a lot of money. And so it makes you kind of think, okay, well, first of all, my company doesn't need any of those things. But if you actually take the time to start exploring the feature set and you look at what's possible for a company who is looking to grow and needs batch automations and really needs some special considerations, that's where Advanced really shines. And then, you know, if you had asked me a year ago, I would have been like, well, you know, I have very few people on Advanced. I don't know why most of these companies even need Advanced. But honestly, this year, so many new, really cool features have come out that I look at that price tag now and that $200 doesn't scare me away anymore.
I'm going to give you a real sort of conflicted answer that's going to make me sound like a politician, which is obviously perfect for the year 2024, which is I feel that QuickBooks Online Advanced is not worth double QuickBooks Online Plus, but it is worth the extra $110. So that's the concept I'm saying. I think the $110, which is the extra that you're paying for the features, it is worth it, but it's not double as good as Plus. You understand what I mean?
I mean, it kind of makes sense. I think it will probably make sense to people as we go through here, because if you haven't taken the time to explore what it does, then Hector's statement doesn't make any sense. But once you find out what you get for $110, then it sure does.
I'll make sure that this will make sense by the end of this. So let's start with the number of users. QuickBooks Online Plus is limited to 5 users. And QuickBooks Online Advanced allows you to have up to 25 users. That's 5 times the number of users. In traditional ERP software world, the cost per user typically is a lot more, comparatively speaking, than just doubling from 90 to 200 to go from 5 to 25 users. There's almost no software out there where it would only cost double to get 5 times the amount of users. So that's where I think the $110 are worth it if you are going to use 20, 25 users. So that's probably the biggest one.
Yeah. I mean, this alone is worth the $110 in costs, because if you have 25 users, you're really talking about maintaining an IT infrastructure with servers and 25 computers. And this erases your entire IT department as far as maintaining your data server. And so right there, you have saved more than $110 just by that one feature.
Exactly. So just think about it like this. $110 for 20 users, okay? That's less than $5 a user. No software out there costs less than $5. Not really. I'm sure there's some, but in our world, nothing costs less than $5 a user. Something to think about. Now, the first major feature that's highlighted in the QuickBooks.com website in the list of features in that comparison grid is forecasting. Now, forecasting, we had a whole episode about this, is a companion to budgets. Budgets are included in Plus. But forecasting allows you to create another layer of budgets where you can kind of look into the future. There are some built-in tools, we discussed it in details, that allow you to project those numbers out, basically allowing you to pre-fill that information a lot quicker than it would be with a traditional budget. And the nice thing is once you have the forecast set up, you turn the forecast into a budget, so then you can do a budget versus actual reports. Any thoughts on forecasting as an advanced feature only?
Yeah, I mean, really what you're looking here is trend analysis, so that you can see how you're doing, how you're going to be doing based on how you've been doing.
I personally think forecasting should be available in Plus, just because I'm gonna draw the comparison between Plus and Advanced the same way we used to look at Premier versus Enterprise, right? Like that, this is the kind of the same comparison I want to make. Like, Premier always had forecasting. You didn't have to go all the way to Enterprise for forecasting. So I personally believe that that should have gone to Premier. But in the QuickBooks Online world, hardly ever something starts in Advanced and goes backwards down. The only example I can think of that I ever remember from the entire history of QuickBooks Online Advanced is the ability to import budgets. That started as an Advanced only feature, and then that was deprecated down to QuickBooks Online Plus. I think that's big. But in addition to that, in Advanced, you can use Spreadsheet Sync, which we'll go into detail soon. You can use Spreadsheet Sync to edit or upload your budget. So one thing that to me is very important is, if you ever work with a budget, working with a budget in a web-based grid is usually a very painful process. We need Excel, Google Sheets. We need spreadsheet style of tools and power to quickly edit fields in a budget. So being able to import it with Spreadsheet Sync is huge. Mm-hmm. And note, you cannot import forecasts through Spreadsheet Sync, only budgets. I think that's worth mentioning as well. So Alicia, what about Spreadsheet Sync? Do you use it at all?
I use Spreadsheet Sync increasingly. That when it first came out, I wasn't even sure what the different use cases are and what the four categories of what Spreadsheet Sync can be used for is reporting, batch editing, budgets, and multi-company reporting. But the ability for me, my favorite one, is the editing and uploading, because if I want to make a change across many transactions, the idea of editing it, opening it, changing it, saving it, going to the next one is really time consuming. But when I can open it up in Spreadsheet Sync, I can see all of the records in one column, and I can literally just change it in one and use the autofill handle and drag it all down and then instantly upload them all. So I can do work in minutes that used to take me hours. So I'm a big, big proponent of Spreadsheet Sync.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I was very much against Spreadsheet Sync at the very beginning, not because of the concept. I'm a total spreadsheet nerd. Obviously, I'm completely for anything that has to do with batch editing or modifying things in a spreadsheet to eventually go into QuickBooks Online. I was just very much against the implementation of it. It was very quirky. It gave a lot of errors. It wasn't very clear in terms of how to use it. So I think it got started through a slow start per se, But now that it's a bit more mature, I can tell you that specifically batch editing data or batch importing transactions to Spreadsheet Sync, once you actually learn how to use it, it's really, really powerful, like really, really powerful. Even, I would say even more powerful than the Sasans and the Transaction Pro Importers of the world. The problem is that Sasan and Transaction Pro Importer are easy to use and Spreadsheet Sync, it's a hot mess. I like to actually learn how to use. So if you have like, if you've been importing invoices or bills or whatever through this system that you've had for years via Sasan or TPI, you're probably better off sticking with that. But if you want to do batch editing of like a journal entry of transactions, change a class or a location or something like that in a spreadsheet format, I think Spreadsheet Sync is actually more powerful than the standard API features. And Alicia, I think you might have a different opinion on this one.
Yeah, I mean, Sasant, and one of my clients calls it Sasant, is one of my go-to data management. It does a lot more than just what Spreadsheet Sync can do. I mean, with Spreadsheet Sync, you can edit a table and then upload the changes, but Sasant recognizes actually more fields in the table, and you can export data out and do more things with it and then import it to modify, and it just does more. It has access to more tables, more fields, and a little bit more streamlined of a process and procedure. But it is a separate subscription. And if all you're using it for is just doing some quick data updates, then having Spreadsheet Sync is excellent. I'm definitely a fan of it. It doesn't replace Sasant for me, but it is a great tool to have in my arsenal.
True. For batch editing, Sasant is multiple steps. First, you run Sasant, you tell it which fields you want to bring in and what filters. You export into CSV, you change it, then you have to import it back, make sure the mapping is correct, and you can actually make it do batch editing. But with Spreadsheet Sync, you click two buttons, it's already on a spreadsheet for you. It wasn't multiple steps. And so I feel that in the long term, Spreadsheet Sync will win this battle. Especially because it's a QuickBooks feature, they're going to have access to more fields than an API tool can. The budget is a good example. Budgets are not available in the API. Sasan cannot edit budgets. Spreadsheet Sync can. Now, I would completely go out and say, hey, QuickBooks, do not monopolize certain fields just because you have all the power. Like, APIs should be truly open APIs. You should never basically beat out a third-party tool because you're holding back on certain fields. You know, things like custom fields, things like tags have never been in APIs. I will be very disappointed. I mean, I'll be excited to see it in Spreadsheet Sync, but I'll be disappointed if they hold it from third-party app developers. So that's, in either case, I think this is where QuickBooks might win that battle, because they have control over that data and they can essentially control what the API gets and doesn't get. So that's the kind of a bummer around it. But Spreadsheet Sync is still kind of an interestingly powerful feature.
Yeah, I think it's a huge value added.
All right. The next one is the Fixed Asset Manager, which is actually a very, very much simplified version of what QuickBooks Desktop had for a very long time and recently deprecated, by the way. So it allows you to create assets, fixed assets. You can import them. You can enter them on a grid. And then you can also automate the depreciation. So QuickBooks will automatically create the journal entries for you and create the depreciation. Alicia, what are your thoughts about using Fixed Asset Manager for the last couple months?
Yeah, I'm really glad that it's there. It being able to calculate the depreciation and not have to rely on your CPA or external websites is definitely something that's really nice that they brought into the software. And the fact that there's multiple depreciation schedules as well.
Okay. The next one is called the Expense Manager or the Expense Claim Manager. This is, in my opinion, a half-developed idea. Like, they got a couple people to go to decide that they were going to compete with like the Concurs and the Expensifys of the world, and they were going to build a built-in system where employees through their phones can take pictures of receipts or whatever and then do an expense claim so then we can do reimbursements. The whole idea is great. I mean, Expensify is a huge company for a reason. The problem is it feels like they got like three people to build it, and then the three people were fired or we moved to other locations, to other tasks, and then it hasn't been improved upon for the last 2 years. So it's really sort of like a living beta, and I don't have any one client that uses that feature.
I have actually implemented it on three or four people just in the last couple months. And so it, you know, in some ways, I agree with you. I think it's a little bit clunky in how it works. But if you're running QBO payroll or you have employees in your system, what it's basically allowing you to do is have them be able to use the receipt capture center without being a user. And so that's where this is the use case where it really makes a difference is with receipt capture, you have to be a registered user in order to forward your email or to take the pictures. But expense claims uses your employee list as its source. And so you have to go in and you have to turn it on and sync the employee. But once you do, their workforce app, which is the app that they're using for their payroll anyway, then gets the receipt scan button so that they can take a picture of their receipt. And once they do that, they can say, yes, I'm supposed to get reimbursed for this, or no, I'm not going to get reimbursed for this, which means that you can then either turn it into an expense when you see it in the receipt center or turn it into a bill to the employee in order to reimburse the employee.
Now, I'll make a confession. I had no idea that you could do this from the workforce app.
Yes.
And if that's the case, then I do truly see the value of it. But one of my big gripes about it was that the user didn't have an actual app to do this in. You had to do it from the website. So I had no idea you could do this from the workforce app. So that's so with that value proposition, then I see the value of it.
Yeah. The other thing that it does allow you to do is similar to using Expensify or other ones, you can specify which categories your employees are allowed to use, and you can name them in shorthand. So you can say you can only use fuel and employee meals, but you can call them gas and food. And then that's all they see and that's all they can classify to. So they're not like, you know, seeing your entire chart of accounts. So, you know, it's like I said, onboarding the employee is a little bit clunky, but if your needs are pretty straightforward, there's no need to turn to third-party apps. It is the Expense Claim Center is in QBO Advanced. Hey there, this is Alicia. When we were recording this current episode, I realized in listening back that I actually made a mistake and I wanted to correct it so that I don't send any of you on a wild goose chase. When your employees are submitting their expense claims and they want to take pictures of their receipts, I had said that they can go into the Workforce app or into the QuickBooks app, mobile app to do it, but that actually is not true. What your employees need to do is go to their browser on their phone and log into qbo.intuit.com, and then they will be able to submit their receipts. They're still restricted from all the rest of the functionality, but they're going into the web browser on their phone to submit their receipt claims by taking pictures. So thanks for listening, and thanks for all your support.
LiveFlow has been successfully automating financial reporting from QuickBooks Online to Google Sheets for thousands of accountants and their clients. But if you were an accountant who uses Microsoft Excel, you would have been missing out until now. Now you can use LiveFlow to connect Microsoft Excel to QuickBooks Online and sync your reports and custom dashboards in real time. With LiveFlow's newest feature, in just a few clicks, you can automate financial reporting from QuickBooks Online and sync your data with Excel to create live auto-updating dashboards and reports, keeping your clients in the loop. And LiveFlow makes customizing reports easy. Add rows, columns, and calculations without breaking the live connection. Your formatting even stays put when the QuickBooks data refreshes. You'll save hours every month by eliminating manual exports and fixing broken spreadsheets. And you'll finish client work in record time by utilizing LiveFlow's over 100 customizable templates. It's a true set it and forget it solution that allows you to spend your time offering insightful client advisory. To revolutionize your financial reporting in Excel with LiveFlow, and to get 25% off your first 3 months. Head over to uqb.promo/liveflow. That is uqb.promo/LIVEFLOW.
Okay, the next sort of big feature worth mentioning is the batch create transactions screen. Now, this is kind of a callback to QuickBooks Desktop Accountant Edition and QuickBooks Desktop Enterprise Edition, where you had a feature called Batch Enter, where you had this spreadsheet style screen where you can maybe copy and paste from a spreadsheet and you can batch enter different types of transactions, which is probably, I would say most accountants would say, experienced accountants in desktop would say that has been the most productive feature in QuickBooks Desktop Accountant and Enterprise added in the last decade or so. So they are attempting to do the same in QuickBooks Online Advanced. And the new batch create transactions features allows you to batch create invoices, checks, expenses, bills, deposits, and sales receipts. Now, specific to QuickBooks Online Advanced, and this is one of those kind of quirky things, is even the batch enter feature is going through a classic mode and a new screen workflow at the moment. So like even if you go into the new batch transaction screen, there is an old layout and a new layout, and I'm really not sure the purpose of them, but you might see a bit of inconsistency in the next couple of weeks or months on how it works. But it is a really powerful feature. It gives you a copy and paste style of functionality. So any of those transaction types that I mentioned, you can copy and paste into it. It adds a whole new slew of keyboard shortcuts for you to insert lines, delete rows, duplicate rows. I mean, this very different experience from the rest of QuickBooks Online. Like in these screens, if you right click, you get a custom right click menu. You don't get the regular browser right click menu. So that's kind of interesting as well. And also in this batch import screens, you can import from CSV, but then when you bring it from CSV, it previews it in the grid for you. And then from the grid, you can make edits and then import. So it's actually a whole new approach to doing data entry in QuickBooks Online, only available in QuickBooks Online Advanced. Again, its own set of keyboard shortcuts, its own type of interface. The drop-down menus feel kind of different. Tabbing across of them, the interface feels different. But it is a good step forward. In my opinion, it's not where it needs to be, but it is a feature you get with Advanced that you don't get otherwise. So, Alicia, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is a great tool if your data is being generated in third-party software, POS systems or ERP systems, and you want to bring in the data. It's great to be able to just do it as taking a CSV and copy and pasting your CSV file. So there's not a lot of people that need it, but those who need it, it's crucial.
Yeah, I would say spreadsheet sync and batch enter are those two features that if that's the only reason you're moving to Advanced for, if say you don't need anything else, I still feel Sasant or TPI are going to be, in today's world, a more powerful add-on and less than the extra $110 a month. But if you're using the other stuff, then it's nice eventually when they add all the transaction types, not to have to pay a third party to do additional imports or batch edit. So that's kind of, again, that's why I started with, hey, it is worth $110, but it's not worth double type of thing. And that's kind of like what I meant by that. The next one is going to be custom user permissions. And fortunately, there is sort of an implementation of this now where you can create custom roles and you can create certain restrictions to what users can do and can't do. The problem is the vision for this, like what QuickBooks Online has always marketed to eventually, how powerful this feature can be, has never been truly executed. Like you still go into custom roles and you can only, custom edit whether the customer can go to invoices or estimates, but you really don't have the whole gamut of, can they receive payments? Can they create sales receipts? Can they create credit memos? The current role screen has a bunch of X's kind of indicating that they're working on it, but that's the part, that's why it's kind of disappointing. So I would say that yes, absolutely yes, QuickBooks Online Advanced has more powerful control features than QuickBooks Online Plus, but not worth double, not double the power per se.
Well, I mean, this one feature alone isn't going to have that much intrinsic value, but it, you know, Plus only allows you to say, yes, you can do customers, or no, you can't do customers. You can do AP or AR. They're getting better. The roles are definitely developing and they're dialing it in. This for me is more like a wish list of, I wish I could just pick a list of the features I want them to be able to use and just call it good. But for those who are coming over from enterprise who need the granular permissions, at least this is here and represented. And it's getting closer and closer to what you can and can't do. And, oh, Hector, it looks like they are finally doing that. Just what I just said. Hey, this is you are hearing me live learning something about the software. It looks like some of the roles do now have granular detail where you can view or not view and have the ability to customize things like expenses and vendors.
But it's just that's just on the report section. So like on the specific transaction types, on the specific transaction types is still pretty limited. Like, for example, when you go into sales, you can pick and choose if the customer has, the user has access to estimates or invoices, but not the other transaction types. Under expenses, you can pick and choose if the user has access to bills, checks, and expense claims, as we mentioned earlier, but not the other transaction types. So there's a grid that shows you a wide array of transactions that will potentially be part of the permission structure, but they're not fully there. However, on the reports section, what they've done is they created two groups. One is called expenses and vendors, and the other one is called sales and customers. And you can pick and choose the specific reports under the sales and customers group or under the expense and vendors group. And you can pick and choose whether the user can view the report or even after viewing can take it one step further and customize it. So on the report side, they are getting closer, but they've only done this for like 20% of the report. So again, it's the promise is there and it's a beautiful promise. They just have not been able to just complete it.
But this is one that we know that they are actively working on. They know that this is for people moving over from desktop to online, that this is one of the things that they have to dial in. So this is one that's like literally changing every time I go in to look at it. It's getting more and more granular.
Absolutely. And I'll just make a quick confession. If this podcast existed 3 years ago and we were talking about this 3 years ago, Alicia would have said the exact same thing. This is something they're actively working on and they're actively improving. The problem is it's too slow. Too slow from the perspective of, hey, Intuit, you want me to move my enterprise customers to advanced? I can't. This feature is not ready yet. So that's a huge, to me, it's a huge problem, especially when you go to like 25 users. The probability of having a customer with 25 users that's okay with them seeing everything, it's going to be very low, right? So like the more users you have, the more access control you want to have for those additional users. The value of having more people touching QuickBooks is you give them access to a specific area so they can help with the entire workflow, but not necessarily have access to sensitive information. So at the end of the day, it's just not executed the way enterprise was executed. Okay, let's move on to workflow automation and tasks. Alicia, what are your thoughts about this feature in advance?
Yeah, workflow automation, I haven't seen a whole lot of people use it, but I have been slowly but surely adding it in with my QBO Advanced clients. For example, invoice approvals and bill approvals where you have to send something up the chain to get it approved, much improved. There's a lot of things that are beginning to be automated. Notifications, late fees, unpaid invoices, whether you're trying to actually just get a notification and a reminder about the activity that's happening inside the company, or whether you actually need to bring in your other staff to take action before you can move forward. The workflows are really interesting approach to being able to create your own automations. So I'm definitely a fan. My one thing that I have trouble with it is that if there's an invoice approval, getting the notification of that people are waiting on me. I don't think QBO has a notification center that's prominent enough to actually get somebody's attention.
And the other challenge, I think, in notifications in general, is QuickBooks Online across the whole spectrum, it doesn't have a lot of customization in terms of who gets notified and when. And so many power users complain about getting emails for clients they don't even work with anymore, or getting payroll reminders of things that they don't manage for their clients. So what ends up happening is more and more people get desensitized, where they see these emails coming in from QuickBooks and they just ignore them. And in between all that junk, you may have good important reminders that you actually want. So if Intuit wants reminders to be effective, there has to be a real, real in-depth reminder customization control, so people don't start ignoring or out-of-junking these emails, and essentially the reminders become useless.
I mean, it can be as simple as using the bell up in the upper right-hand corner and putting that pink dot on it when somebody has sent you something that has a notification. That alone would be a complete solve on the whole notification issue for the workflows and tasks.
Right. That bell, again, we're kind of like veering off from QuickBooks Advanced issues for a second, but that bell, that little bell icon is severely underutilized. It feels like some things go in there, some things don't go in there. I think that could be improved. But going back to workflow and automation and tasks, one of the kind of cool things they've added recently is, and we've mentioned this earlier, that QuickBooks is revamping their HR portion of payroll. Like, they're adding more HR tools and stuff like that. So now they've added reminders that interact with the employee section. Things like reminding you when an employee has a birthday. Things like reminding you when an employee hasn't completely filled out the W-4 or a work anniversary. So I think that's interesting, like a sort of outside-the-box thinking that has nothing to do with accounting workflows, but it has a lot to do with important things like retaining employees and acknowledging your talented employees for what, you know, for the great things that they do. The other couple interesting things they added to custom workflows is when they add new entity items. So for example, a new account is added to the chart of accounts. You can now create, just to get notified, hey, by the way, John created a new account, right? So that could be interesting because there's no way to lock the chart of accounts per se, but you can start monitoring what people start creating. Same thing with vendors. You know, even though vendors specifically should actually have an underwriting workflow where you approve the vendor, and that sort of, like, larger companies do that, right? Before I add a vendor, we need to vet the vendor. Are they real? You know, is this not going to be, an employee, stealing money, inadvertently from the company? So it would be nicer to have just a deeper, more mid-markety type of workflow for approving vendors before they create it. Mm-hmm. For now, you just get a notification. Hey, by the way, somebody created a new vendor. But again, this is like user permissions. This is an area where every month you see one new thing added all the time.
Are you looking for a way to streamline your clients' multi-state compliance, tax registration, business licensing, beneficial ownership information reporting, and unlock new revenue opportunities for your firm? Look no further than Harbor Compliance. With Harbor Compliance's powerful software suite and expert services, you can easily manage your client's entity, registrations, business licenses, and tax registrations across all 50 states. Their purpose-built solution transforms the way you navigate the complex landscape of regulatory requirements, saving you time and reducing risk. By joining the Harbor Compliance Alliance, you can expand your service offerings without increasing overhead. Their team handles the regulatory filings, freeing up your staff to focus on higher value engagements. Plus, with their Entity Manager software, you'll have real-time access to your clients' entity data, enabling you to provide more informed guidance and support. As remote work and online sales continue to grow, the demand for multi-state compliance solutions is booming. Position your firm to capitalize on this trend and improve client retention by partnering with Harbor Compliance. To learn more about the benefits of joining the Harbor Compliance Alliance, head over to uqb.promo/harbor. That is uqb.promo/HARBOR.
So the next one is online backup and restore formerly known as ChronoBooks. ChronoBooks was a third-party app that Intuit purchased, and they've been integrating it to the QuickBooks Online accountant workflow. Tell us a 30-second Reader's Digest version of this feature, Alicia.
Sure. I actually just did a deep dive of it in my Baby's Got Backups class. I have a whole class on ways of backing up and exporting from QBO. And what Online Backup and Restore allows you to do is once you turn it on, it is constantly backing up your QBO. It does a full backup periodically, and then it does incremental backups after that. And something I noticed just recently is it's now accessing the backups that are being made on Intuit's servers. There's backups that are showing up that didn't used to show up. So now I'm pretty sure that's what I'm seeing is insight into the server farm infrastructure. But anyway, what this allows you to do is make a backup on demand. So let's say you're going to reorganize the chart of accounts, or you're going to do a big data import. You can make a backup right before you do it. And then if your task doesn't work as performed, you can just roll it right back to where it was right before that. So having that ability to always have an on-demand backup is fantastic, and then being able to restore to any point in time as well. It also does have a copy feature, which none of the other apps have anymore. Like Rewind used to do it, but it doesn't anymore. What that means is that you can copy the contents of one QBO Advanced file into another QBO Advanced file. So if you need to move it for any reason, or maybe you want the infrastructure but not the data, you have to make the new file. It has to be advanced. But after you've done this task of moving information over from one subscription to a new one, you can then, of course, downgrade it. Right now, this is the only way to move data from one file to another file. And unfortunately, it doesn't work with QBOA, with your accountant's version. Actually, none of Online Backup and Store works with QBOA. It's only for actual standalone files.
And I do want to add one little caveat to that, just the wording that you use. A way to move data from one file to another, this will override the other company file. So it's not like you can just send the invoices over or merge data from two files together. This is just to create essentially a duplicate of your current data into a different subscription. Now, how and where that would be useful? Like the only potential use case I see with this is, hey, let me create another QuickBooks Online advanced account where I duplicate the data and then I can play with it, like a sandbox. And then, but I don't truly see the reason why I would have two duplicate copies of the same QuickBooks file.
Here's one of the use cases where I have used it. A company sells and there's a new owner. You have to create a new QBO file, but maybe you still want all of the goodwill from the vendors list and the customers list and some of that history. This allows you to have that genuine new file and create your own new starting points, but not have to rebuild all of the lists from scratch. So there are some creative cases for using this.
Now, one of the things I wasn't aware of is that you can actually pick the type of data that copies over. Like I thought it was like the entire file that copied over. So in that example that you said, I wouldn't even know, like, how would I just restrict it to only lists or something like that?
I mean, this is a bigger conversation, but you can't really restrict the data that comes over, but what you can do is move the whole file over and then delete all of the file that was proprietary to the former ownership.
Yeah, so you could. Yeah, so that's a good use case, but you still need a third-party app to delete anything, you know, prior to 2022 or whatever. So,
like, you could use Spreadsheet Sync.
Right, you could use
Spreadsheet. I am wrong. Spreadsheet Sync, by the way, does not allow you to delete data because you can very easily break a related table.
Okay, so Spreadsheet Sync, like, it doesn't let you delete anything, or doesn't let you delete some things.
Most things.
We should dedicate an episode to Spreadsheet Sync.
We really should. But no, you can't just delete data out because, like, you know, what if you deleted an invoice and then all of a sudden you have payments that don't go anywhere?
Right. So then you would need to use Sasant or Transaction Pro Deleter or something like that. Yeah. So again, another example, I think you paint a good picture on like a use case, but it still doesn't fully 100% work. I think the earlier example you gave, which is like Intuit making automatic backups every day, and then you being able to go back to one of those backups, that would be really powerful just because people forget to do, like, you know, explicitly go in there and create restore points. And that's where most people, like if you go into Facebook group of people complaining about, my client deleted this, how do I get it back? And then people say, oh, you could use Chronobooks. But then the response is, I never created a restore point. I didn't even know that was there. So I think that's the gap right now, is that like QuickBooks Online Advanced, to really truly have a useful online backup and restore, they should be doing daily backups for you and not requiring the user to do a restore point, well, in my opinion.
Yeah, what I want to just piggyback on this is, if you are using QuickBooks Online Advanced, you have to go and turn on the restore function. It doesn't happen automatically. So all of you listening to me, log into each of your QBO Advanced instances and go up to the gear and then go to backup data and turn on the backup. Otherwise, you're never going to get it, take advantage of this feature.
Yeah. And as a best practice, all I would recommend is, if you take on a brand new QuickBooks Online Advanced client, create the restore point right day one, right there and then, because they probably didn't do it. And then if you build it into your services, go in there and do it weekly if Intuit is in fact not doing what Alicia says she thought, what she saw, which is Intuit is automatically doing the backup restore points for you. So,
well, just to clarify that, once you turn it on, it is going to create incremental backups. What I was saying is that now there's a little bit of insight into Intuit's history, but you don't have to continually go into the backup center and tell it to make a backup for you. Once you turn it on, it's on. But if I'm about to make major changes to a file, then yes, I will go in and make a backup at that moment before I do the task.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. I thought you meant that Intuit was doing the backups no matter what.
No.
You actually have to turn on incremental backups, and then that's going to do it for you automatically. That makes sense. The second to last item that's in the QuickBooks.com website as a feature to QuickBooks Online Advanced is 24/7 tech support, aka Priority Circle. Honestly, I can't speak to this. I never called tech support. I really don't know how different this is than regular tech support, but it's supposed to be better tech support.
Yeah, I think they're leaning on the higher tier support, like Pro Advisor support, to give the answers to people who are in QuickBooks Online Advanced. The other thing is that you also do get an enrollment into a course at Real World Training for free. And then, you know, I think it's like a short number of classes every year. So that's the training that they make available to you. So there is some value to that.
And the last line on the QuickBooks.com website as a feature to QBO Advanced is called deferred revenue or revenue recognition. So Alicia, quick Reader's Digest version on that.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan on deferred revenue. And I've been, I just talked about it in QB Talks last month as well, that if you are doing annual subscriptions, for example, you have the ability to recognize that revenue spread out through the year instead of one big lump sum. And they're actively working on dialing this in. It's come a long way. And I'm definitely a big fan because I have annual subscriptions to my Royal Wise Owls content library. And, you know, I'm cash basis. I really am really recognizing it in the month that somebody pays me. But because I want to put all the tools through its paces, I have deferred revenue turned on. And it's nice to see my monthly activity happening as opposed to my lump sum payments.
Absolutely. And the last couple of features we're going to mention here, they're actually not in the QuickBooks.com website listed when we recorded this video for some reason. It might be an oversight, which are all the extra reporting tools. So, for example, we have the custom report builder. We have the ability to do pivot tables inside the custom report builder, which is sort of like, it's almost like two different types of reporting mechanisms. There's the Performance Center, which also ties a little bit into the charts that you can build in the custom report builder that you can do on top of the pivot tables, and also exporting reports to Google Sheets, which you can with QuickBooks Online Advanced and not with with the regular versions of QuickBooks. So quick thoughts about the Custom Report Builder, Alicia.
I mean, I love the Custom Report Builder. I just taught a class called Running Reports in QBO where I go in and we actually build custom reports. And it uses the modern view. So this is one of those opportunities that if you're not so sure about the modern view, going in and diving in and starting to build your own reports really gets you to really get to know it and makes you really powerful with it. And the combination of being able to cobble together a report that shows what you sold to a customer, but what vendor you bought it from can be game changing, you know, because you can combine the sales form and a vendor sale all on one report.
Yeah. And inside that custom report builder, once you get into that nitty-gritty specific type of report that you want to build where you pick all the specific fields, you have the option to take the same report that looks like a basically like a bunch of list of transactions, like a detail report, and make it into either a pivot table or make it into a chart, all within the same interface, using the same filters, using the same grouping. So what's nice about this is now you have essentially an all-in-one reporting interface mechanism where you only have to learn one screen. You have to learn, okay, well, how do I pick the fields? How do I filter the fields? How do I, you know, what type of data within the fields I want to see and not see? And then once you master that, you with one click, turn it into a chart, turn it into a pivot table. That's huge. And to me, probably that is worth the extra $110 for sure. The custom reports. The only problem I would say that it has is that it's difficult to use for the average user. It doesn't have that much adoption rate. And I think the problem with that is that it's only available in advance. That's the huge problem with that. Because if you've actually made it available, and I'm not saying to make it available across all SKUs, but make it available just to accountants working across all SKUs, that's going to give you a much deeper adoption rate because it allows us, the data experts, to play with it and actively recommend it to our clients, because we're not going to sit there and build a custom report for every client, which we could, by the way, totally could. But the reality is that the average end user is not, even if they have advanced, they're not going to use a custom report builder. They're just not going to take the time to look at the data fields and the source versus detail. Like, all this stuff is more of the accounting nerd's world. So I think what Intuit should do is fine. Allow only advanced users to access this, but if they have an accountant attached to it, allow the accountant, especially if the accountant is like advanced certified, allow us to use those tools so we can expose it to our clients, because our clients are not going to embrace the tool until they finally see the actual report that we're looking for in practice. So once they see it in practice, they go, okay, I would pay the extra $10. $110 to access this. So that's kind of the disconnection that it has right now, where it's an extremely powerful tool that nobody uses because accountants only have access to it if their clients had access, actually happened to have QBO Advanced.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what you're saying is exactly where it has been shining for my clients, that my clients who love data are loving QBO Advanced and think it's worth every penny, and more so because I have clients who are using the Performance Center and they're making their own charts to keep an eye on certain clients. And that combined with the Project Center has been an absolute 100% game changer for several of my mid-market clients who I used to consider too big for QBO, who needed desktop enterprise, and I'm moving them over and they are delighted. And all of a sudden that $200 price tag is a bargain. They're like, oh yeah, sure. That's totally fine. So things are changing. Things are shifting. My opinion is shifting. My clients' experiences are shifting. And I really think that because Intuit is top loading all of their new innovations into QBO Advanced, that price tag no longer seems exorbitant. 2 years ago, I thought $200 was like a stupid price to put on it. Like, who would ever pay that? And now I'm like, that's a bargain. That's great.
Yeah. And so the answer to the question, QBO Advanced, is it worth the money? From your perspective, it's a resounding yes?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give you my last answer to wrap this up. So I actually have QuickBooks Enterprise users that have 30 user licenses that pay close to $10,000 a year, okay? So when you actually compare $10,000 a year versus $2,400, you know, no longer QBO Advanced seems expensive for that group of people. On top of that, most people with more than 10 users in QuickBooks Enterprise, they also pay for servers, IT people, hosting. So the cost of running desktop software, especially in the enterprise world, it's between $15,000 to $20,000 a year when it really comes down to it. So that's about 10 times the cost of QBO Advanced on a 25-user license. So when you look at it from that perspective, yeah, the $200 a month is actually nothing. So the point I want to make is that QBO Advanced is actually not a SKU meant to be double the value of Plus. It's a SKU meant to be so far away from Plus, so it's perceived as a different product altogether. That way, the desktop users and the potential people going into NetSuite and Sage Intacct and all these competing mid-market softwares actually see QBO Advanced as a viable option. Think about you've been a buyer of ERP software for the past 20 years, and you've been spending, you know, $10,000, $20,000 a year, and you see this $90 a month software. You can't in your head fit that this is going to work for you. So I think QBO Advanced, again, it's not trying to be double the value of Plus. It's just trying to feel closer to what the mid-market is used to paying. So that's the conclusion to the question, is why I think it's worth the extra $10 a month, but not worth double
Plus. That's a great way of reframing it.
So anyway, Alicia, anything going on in your world?
Yeah, I just taught a class on all of these report tools and how to use them, everything including the features that are just that in QuickBooks Online Advanced. And so if you've been interested in what we've been talking about with the reporting with Spreadsheet Sync and the Performance Center, please do check out my class. It's at learn.royalwise.com. And if you just search for running reports, you'll be able to find it. How about you, Hector?
So now that tax season is over, I'm going to be focusing 100% on promoting my conference, the Reframe Conference. It's in Hollywood, Florida, which is between Miami and Fort Lauderdale, October of 2024. We're going to have up to 200 people hanging out, and we're going to talk about one theme, which is influential communications for accountants. So how do accountants up their game on the way they communicate their value, communicate their prices, communicate their boundaries, communicate their advice? I believe that our profession is very, very technically savvy, but has not this soft skill of being able to communicate well. It's something that we still need to improve upon. And it's going to be upon us, the accounting profession, to rebrand our profession as great communicators. I mean, The joke that says that that if you meet somebody in a party and they say they're an accountant, they'll be looking at your shoes or something like that. I forget what the actual joke is, but usually accountant is an avatar for a shy person, an awkward person, a person that's very introvert and is into themselves only and into numbers and calculations. Where Alicia and I are absolutely not that, and many, many, many of our colleagues are not that. But that perception needs to be changed. And I believe that we need to learn the tools to improve our communication skills so we can be leaders amongst all the industries. So that's the theme of the conference. It's called Reframe, reframe2024.com, Influential Conversations for Accountants, October 2024, Hollywood, Florida. Hope to see you there.
I will definitely be there myself.
So with that being said, thank you, Alicia. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in the next one.
See you in the next one.
This podcast is independently operated and is not affiliated with or endorsed by QuickBooks or Intuit Inc. Any reference to Intuit and QuickBooks products are made solely for the purpose of discussing the topics related to the company and its software.